You could be at a number of places, but you've chosen to come here to Crosstown this morning, and we want to honor that choice, and we hope that you have been uplifted and blessed by our time together thus far to be together as the Lord's church.
Let's ask a question here. Does anyone know where this picture is taken, or this landmark, this location? Any idea we might have? I'll give you a hint. It's the good state of Arkansas. I don't know if we might have one or in here that might know where this is at. This is actually the most photographed location, they say, in the state of Arkansas. If it's used, Maggie and I lived in Arkansas a couple of years in Searcy when I was going to school at Harding there. This is used on a number of their brochures and their tourist magazines. This is, if you know where Harrison, Arkansas is, this isn't too far from there. This is in the Buffalo Wilderness, National Wilderness area, over 22,000 acres that you can hike and trails. As you look out at the Ozarks, just a beautiful, beautiful location. I had an opportunity to go in this area in a campaign I was involved with in Springdale, Arkansas in 2000. We went over on an off day, and we went into the Buffalo National Wilderness. And we got up near this location. I wish I could say I went up to this actual rock, this incredible rock formation that you see here. But it was not able to go all the way up there. You've got to go through, it's about a 3-mile hike, and you're just under a canopy of trees. You got to go through a creek. It's a good little journey up there. But this location, a lot of folks like to go up there and stand there on that rock formation. And you're looking down about 20 feet, and you're looking at the top of these trees there when you get on that rock level there. And just incredible, incredible location, the beauty of God's creation. I think about this most photographed location in Arkansas, this incredible rock formation, and my mind is thinking about a higher rock. I appreciate Steve being willing to lead this song this morning that we just sang about a higher rock and on higher ground. In Psalm 61, if you have your Bibles, do we have our Bibles, church? Let's hold up our Bibles. All right, lift up those Bibles. It tells us that we want to hear God's Word. We want to be a people who listen to the Lord this morning. And I'm thinking of this verse here in Psalm 61. Psalm 61 in verse 1 and 2. Psalm 61 and verse 1 and 2. Psalm of David. Psalm 61, 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I will call to you. Now, David is appealing to God. David is crying out to God in prayer. He's petitioning God. We talked about prayer last Sunday morning in a lesson. He's asking for God's help. We need God's help spiritually. We talked about that in our lesson last week. And he cries out to God, my heart grows faint. We've been there before. Lord, I'm spiritually low. I need your help. I need your assistance. I have a problem. I have something that I'm facing that's larger than me. And he says, my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. In the Old Testament, God is pictured as being that powerful, grounded, stable figure. He is a rock. And we can go to God for His strength and for His help and His power. And God will be there, the stability of the Lord. When everyone else forsakes us, the Lord will be there. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4 when he talks about when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness. He mentions that they had a spiritual rock that accompanied them, and he says that rock was Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking about this idea, and I'm not thinking so much from the standpoint of talking this morning about God being that rock, Jesus Christ being that spiritual rock that we need in our life. That's for another lesson, maybe. But I'm thinking about this idea and kind of just maybe spiritualize it a little bit. The idea of pressing higher. The idea of reaching towards a higher plane. And this is with the Lord's help. The Lord is the one who will guide us, who will help us, who will strengthen us as we press on each day. But to spiritually, to reach towards higher rocks. You see, letter there on the outline, there are higher rocks. There are, spiritually speaking, higher planes that we're to be reaching towards, that we're to be striving for, that we're to be pressing on towards. You know, there is a tendency to get comfortable, to get satisfied, spiritually speaking, to get satisfied with where we're at spiritually. It seems like I've gotten the impression from some Christians over the years that the mindset is, well, you know, I've obeyed the gospel. I have put Christ on in baptism, and that's kind of the extent of their spiritual experience. That they don't grow anymore, that they don't press on and reach on towards higher rocks and higher planes. I don't know if we have any science folks in here. Do you remember in science learning about one of Newton's laws of motion? One of Newton's laws of motion was an object at rest will stay at rest until it is acted upon by an outside force. And I think spiritually that's something we have to face. That kind of sums up the sum total of a lot of people's Christian life. They've been baptized. They've become a Christian. They attend worship. But that's kind of the extent of their spiritual life. No, there is a higher rock that we're to be reaching towards. In Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, the Hebrew writer kind of gets all over these Christians that he writes to, uses some very strong language, because they apparently had become satisfied. They had become settled in where they were at spiritually. They had become a Christian at some time in the past. But now they're kind of satisfied. They're kind of exactly in the same place they've been for years, spiritually. And the Hebrew writer gets all over them that they are not spiritually strong. And he says, in the end of chapter 5, he admonishes them. And he finally gets into chapter 6 and verse 1 and says, let us press on to maturity. We need to be pressing on. We need to be growing. We need to be reaching for those higher rocks spiritually. You see, being a Christian, get ahead here on the handout, on the slides. There are higher rocks. We don't want to get satisfied. Being a Christian demands constant moving. It demands constant moving to these higher rocks. There's nothing more frustrating than moving but not making any progress. I don't know if you ever had that experience or not, but that's a very frustrating moment when you find yourself, I don't care what it might be in, but you're getting some movement, but you're not making any progress. You don't have any momentum. And the same is true spiritually for us. I think that's what the Apostle Paul was getting at in Philippians chapter 3. These familiar words we're so familiar with in Philippians 3 and verse 13, when he says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Spiritually speaking, he's progressing, he's moving forward. And that's what Paul says we need to be doing. The Apostle Peter would write later on in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verses 5 through 8, those Christian virtues. Remember how we're to add to our faith virtue and knowledge self-control. But the key there is every one, he says, add to your faith, add to this. He gets down at the end and he says, if these are
yours and abounding. You see, you're growing. You're continuing to move forward. You're making progress, constantly moving as a Christian. There's constant movement. There's a pressing on to higher rocks spiritually. What are some of those higher rocks? Let me just give you a few here as we just think about a few before I give some thoughts that maybe can help us. How about the higher rock of a deeper faith? Do you find yourself frustrated sometimes because it seems like spiritually you've been at the same place you've been for years? And what's so sad sometimes is when Christians find themselves at that place, at that time, in that moment, and they just begin to accept it. That's just kind of where they're at spiritually. And we've got to be pressing on to a deeper level of faith. We've got to take it to another level constantly. And that involves this reaching forward of a higher rock. How about a knowledge of Jesus? Do you know any more about the Lord, about the Word of God, about your Christian faith, about the call to live for Jesus? Do you know any more than you did last year, 2 years ago? I mean, maybe sometimes it'd be good if we just, you know, our students have to take tests, right? Teachers have to teach to that, and that's a big part of being in school now is the testing that is administered. Maybe it'd be good sometimes if we just took a spiritual test here this morning. Maybe if we took an examination of what we know and our knowledge and our understanding of the Word of God. Maybe that would be quite an eye-opener for a lot of us. You know, we just started last Lord's Day, last Sunday, and of course the second week today, we just started a new quarter of Bible classes. We have some incredible teachers. Children who can learn God's Word on their level with teachers. We have, for the teens, we have college class. We have, I believe, 3 adult classes that are taught. I mean, opportunities. Wednesday night to study God's Word further. Opportunities to grow in our knowledge of Jesus and the Word of God. Are we taking advantage of that? Are we growing in that area? How about your family? That's a rock spiritually. Where are you at as a family, as a father? As a husband, are you being that leader that God has called you to be spiritually for your family? How about as a husband? Are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church as God calls us as men? How about wives? Are you submitting to the spiritual leadership and oversight of your husband? Are you honoring and giving him that respect? As parents, husbands and wives, as parents, maybe as fathers and mothers, what about with our children? That's a higher rock. How about kids, mom and dad? Are you growing? Are you learning the importance of obedience? I know that's not fun. I know we don't want to do that. But when you learn obedience at a young age, that'll be with you the rest of your life, where you'll learn to obey parents, you'll learn to obey the police, you'll learn to obey those in society that are over you. That's an important lesson. Are we reaching towards those higher rocks? How about just spiritual discipline? How about just prayer? The reading of God's Word on a personal, daily basis? Meditation, actually thinking about what God's Word says, reflecting on my life? Are you growing in spiritual disciplines? How about just with worship and service? You know, these two are so linked together. You try to pull them apart and it's kind of a dicey deal. But are you growing in your worship to the Lord and your service that's an outgrowth of that worship? How about those rocks? How about just general Christian growth? You know, Paul gives us the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you growing in those areas? How much love do you have? How much self-control? How much goodness are you demonstrating in your life? That spiritual growth. Where are you at in these areas? Well, these are some higher rocks that we need to be striving towards as Christians. There's others, but I hope you get the idea this morning. Now, what can we do? What can we do to get there? What are some things that can help us spiritually reach to that higher plane, to that higher rock in our life? As the psalmist makes that appeal to God, crying out to Him for help and assistance, as we want to cry out to God, as we want to reach a spiritual higher rock, what can we do? Well, these are some things that I think can help us.
from God's Word. These aren't the only things. This is not an exhaustive list of points here this morning, but some things that I think can help us. Let's think about this as we think about stretching spiritually this morning here and reaching higher rocks. I want to encourage you as you think about this to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. The whole point of this process, of this idea, is to stretch, is to grow, is to mature. And I don't care if you're talking about kids learning in school. I don't care if you're talking about maybe losing some weight, getting more fit in your body. I don't care what it might be. You're going to have some, be uncomfortable at times. You're going to have to go through some things that you don't want to go through, that kind of make you squirm a little bit, that frustrates you even at times. We're going to have to learn to get comfortable with getting uncomfortable. You know, there's a reason that probably a lot of folks aren't able to go up on this incredible rock formation and look out on those beautiful wilderness of the Ozarks there, is that's hard to get up there. I mean, that's a 3-mile trek. That's a journey through some not easy walking area. And not everyone can get up there physically. We understand that. But spiritually, it's not going to be easy to get there where you're at, to where you want to be spiritually. You're going to have to stretch. We're going to have to reach. We're going to have to go through a level of discomfort. And that's okay. You know, I think about the example of Moses. Moses, to me, in the Old Testament, is the prime candidate of someone who had to learn to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Remember, he's 80 when the Lord appears to him at Sinai. He's settled in his life. He's now 80. He's been shepherding for 40 years with his father-in-law, Jethro. And in Moses' mind, he's seen better days. His time has passed. You know, he had his shot, if you will, if you know about his history prior to that time. And now he's fled Egypt. He's all alone. He's isolated. He's kind of a worn-out, tired guy, maybe. He thinks his life is kind of done with. And the Lord says, no, sir, you're just beginning. And you remember Moses offered all those excuses why he was not the man to go back to Egypt and go before Pharaoh and lead God's people out of the slavery. Matter of fact, he was quite comfortable with where he was at. And he had to get uncomfortable. He had to go before the most powerful ruler in the world at that time, Pharaoh, and ask and demand on the request, of course, of God Almighty Jehovah to let the children of Israel go. And you find just one journey after another as he begins that. 40 years they'll wander in the wilderness. I mean, Moses had to go through all sorts of struggles and all sorts of trials. And yet we think about Moses. We have such great reverence and respect for the man because he pressed on towards higher rocks. He wasn't comfortable he was comfortable being uncomfortable. Jesus talked about one time in Luke chapter 9. Remember that occasion when a man comes to Jesus and says, I'll follow you. You remember what Jesus tells him there in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57? Foxes and dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I mean, Jesus says, you better get used to being uncomfortable with me. There's going to be a level of discomfort. There's going to be some things that are not going to be easy when you follow me. And I think maybe a lot of Christians have been sold a bill of goods. They've been sold a message, a gospel that is very easy, not demanding. You know, as long as you maybe come and attend church sometimes and, you know, maybe put a little bit in the offering and go through a few religious activities, then that's the extent of Christianity. No. This is a life. This is a call to a taking up our cross and following Jesus every single day. Faith by definition is uncomfortable. Remember what the Hebrew writer describes? Faith is having that assurance in what is unseen. I don't know how comfortable you are with things that you can't see, but that's never an easy thing. That's not always a pleasant experience to have to maybe go in a garage or go in a basement that's dark and you can't see hardly your hand in front of you and you got to feel your way around. I mean, and we don't have blind faith. Don't misunderstand me. The Hebrew writer is saying over and over in Hebrews chapter 11, the Lord was faithful in the past. He will be faithful to you in the present. That's all you need to know. And that is not blind faith. That's telling us God was with Moses, God was with Abraham, God was with David, God was with all the patriarchs. He got them through it. He'll get you through whatever you're in. That's not blind faith. That is faith based on what we can know that God has done for His people that follow Him. So we're not talking about blind faith, but still, we're going to be called to do and to go and to be things that are just not comfortable for us, that we just don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know if you're one of those people that like to just plan out everything. Maybe you've planned out your whole life. Now, I kid you, I've met people that way. I mean, I'm going to get married here, and I'm going to have this many kids, and I'm going to live here, and I want to do this. Now, there are a bunch of us that do that, but we never reach that. I mean, we just get derailed immediately, and we end up someplace we didn't think we'd end up, maybe marrying somebody we didn't think we'd marry. But there are people that way that actually, I mean, they seem to have planned out their life. I don't know if you're that kind of a person. You like to just plan out everything, your day, your week, your year. Nothing wrong with that, I guess. But you better watch out because there's going to be things that are going to come up. And following the Lord, we're going to be called to go and to do and to experience things we may not have planned. We may not think that we were even fit to do, but the Lord says, I want you to do this. I'm tapping your shoulder like Moses. You're going to have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Let me give you a couple of specifics here at Crosstown. See, I've been here long enough now, it's kind of start to get a little specifics here. Let me give you some specifics here. We need to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I don't know if you've ever thought about your role that you could serve in teaching Bible class here at Crosstown. Every congregation I've ever been at, they always are constantly struggling to have enough teachers. Whether it's children Bible classes, whether it's adult Bible classes, every quarter that is a constant issue. That every congregation struggles with that. Recruiting, training, developing. You know, and there's times where people just have to get out or they can't teach during certain times of the year. And we understand all of that. But too many folks, I'm convinced, in our congregations are just sitting on the sidelines. They're strong. They're spiritually mature. They know the Word of God. They've studied the Word of God. But when I've talked to folks sometimes about maybe considering being a Bible school teacher, I sometimes get that initial, I'm just not comfortable with that. We need to get uncomfortable, is what I'm saying at times. Now, I know not everyone can be a Bible school teacher. That's not my point. But my point is many more could be. Many more could share their faith in a very direct way. I mean, there's just a lot of examples, but I'm thinking about the Bible school program. Let me give you another example. Monday night for the Masters about to start up tomorrow night. Ken Smith and his group, they do a wonderful job. It's a wonderful ministry to be a part of if you can join that group regularly. Writing cards, writing notes of cards, encouragement to folks who attend, who are not attending regularly, who are struggling spiritually, who are struggling physically. What a great ministry. Some of you got to participate in that on our Wednesday summer series, Summer of Service, a couple of times. We did that in the gym. And that's what we do during that time, is we try to encourage folks in that way. Well, you say, I don't know if I can, I'm not real good with get uncomfortable. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. How about, let me give you another one. How about small groups? We have life groups here at Crosstown. We do not meet here at the building. There's a group here that meets at the building at 4 for Bible study. But we have life groups that meet throughout Tulsa in various homes on Sunday evenings. A lot of you are not participating in that. I would say a good majority of our congregation looks like, based as I can tell the numbers that I've attended all the groups. And I don't know all the reasons, and I don't know all the whys, and maybe we could do a better job advertising it and promoting it and letting folks know, but maybe there's some of this too that I'm just not comfortable being in a small group, being in a sharing, having people know. Let me tell you again, get comfortable being uncomfortable. These are just three specifics I just wanted to mention here in our congregation. There are others that we could list, but get comfortable being uncomfortable spiritually. That's how you get to a higher rock. Now, quickly here, these last couple of points here. We need to associate with like-minded people. We need to be around others who are trying to improve themselves. You know what happens sometimes when we're trying to improve ourselves? And I don't care if this is physically, socially, academically, financially. You'll get around folks, and they know you're trying to improve yourself. You know what a lot of people will do? They're not going to encourage you and say, "That's wonderful. I'm so glad you're doing this." A lot of folks are going to try to drag you down because they're comfortable where they're at. And that causes them a level of discomfort. You know, I don't care, again, what it might be in life. I ran across this, or first heard this phrase, crabs in the bucket syndrome. I heard this when I was in New Orleans several years ago. We went over there to do some cleanup after Hurricane Katrina. Spent a week there. And this one guy mentioned it, referenced it several times. And I'd really ever heard of that. And, you know, what are you talking about? Crabs in the bucket syndrome. He'd say, "Well, you go out and you catch some blue crabs are out there, and you when you catch those crabs, you throw them in one of those big white buckets. You know, you've seen it. Not doesn't have a lid on top of it. Just one of those white buckets. You throw those crabs in there, and you don't have to cover that. You don't have to put a lid on that." "Oh, okay, that's interesting. Why?" He says, "Because those other crabs, once you get them in there, they'll just start grabbing and pulling each other down. And sure enough, you just what? That's what they do. One crab will get in there, and he'll start to kind of make his way up the top. Another one will yank him, grab him down. Crabs in the bucket syndrome. There are people around you. There are friends. There are family who will try to drag you down. They don't want you to press on spiritually. They don't want you to be that better parent, that better husband, that better wife, that better parent, because that's a reflection on them at times. And that's something we have to keep in mind. Associate with those of like mind who are stretching, who are striving to be better. That's the church. The scriptures I give, Proverbs 27:7, iron sharpens iron. As iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another. Philemon in verse 7 says that the hearts of the saints had been refreshed through this man. He was an encourager. He was a refreshing Christian. The Hebrew writer tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but encourage and exhort one another. When we're around other believers and other Christians who are striving to grow and to mature and to reach higher rocks, that has an effect on us. And I ran across this statement one time. You are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. You think about that. You are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. What are those people like spiritually? I'm thinking spiritually now. What are they like? You are the average of them. And that's something for us to think about. Thirdly, though, if we're going to reach higher rocks here, these last 2 points quickly, we need to not compare ourselves with others. The point is not to look around and say, spiritually, I'm not where he is at or she is at. I don't teach Bible class, so therefore I'm spiritually not really worth anything. No, that's not the point I was making, of course. The point is we don't compare ourselves. The Lord expects each of us to grow at our level and our pace. And we're all on different levels and different journeys, and we have different backgrounds and experiences. But the one common theme is we're all growing and progressing towards maturity in Christ. We have the same command. We have the same standard that we're called to live. But we're reaching that at different levels. And it's easy to look around and to want to condemn ourselves, to beat ourselves up spiritually, when we start thinking about comparing ourselves to maybe other Christians. Don't do that. And then secondly, with that, kind of don't compare yourself, because not only do you condemn yourself at times, you'll get to condemning others. You'll get to thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to be. And I think about Moses, going back to Moses. Moses, when he was 40, he was raised in the family as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was going to, in his mind, when you read Acts chapter 7, Stephen's account, Moses, when he went out at the age of 40 to visit his fellow Hebrews, he wanted to deliver his fellow Hebrews. Stephen tells us in his mind that he believed God had raised him up for that very purpose. Moses thought too highly of himself, I believe. Moses thought he was the man for the job at 40. And God really couldn't maybe use him at that point. He had to go into the wilderness and be humbled. And for 40 years now, Moses now is 80, and now he's a shepherd, and he's not a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's not going to serve God out of a position of power and privilege and influence. He's now this lowly shepherd. And he doesn't think he has anything to offer God now. Send somebody else to do the job. And the Lord says, now I can use you. Because it don't matter what we offer the Lord, how much talent, skills, if we're not molded and used by God, if we're not pliable, if we're not someone that the Lord can use and grow, we're no good. And so we don't want to think more than ourselves. We don't want to condemn others. So we don't want to compare ourselves is the key here in reaching a higher rock. And then lastly, be careful of falling. Just, we always have to be aware of this. This is a constant threat. When we stay where we're at spiritually, we can fall. Peter there says in 2 Peter chapter 1, when he gives those lists of virtues, add to your faith. He says, if these are yours and abounding, you will never be unfruitful or unproductive. You will not fall, he says. Now, you might think about this and think, okay, wait a minute. Let's go back to our analogy. Let's go back to an analogy of climbing, maybe doing some rock climbing. Do you know when most people actually fall? This is not a trick question, just common sense now. When do most people actually fall when they're climbing rocks? Right? While they're doing it, right? You don't fall when you're down on the ground. If you do, that's pretty bad. You better stop where you're at. But you fall when you start climbing. And so we need to be aware of the danger of falling, but we don't need to let that cause us to be paralyzed and say, well, then I'm not going to stretch myself spiritually. I'm not going to press on to higher rocks. I ran across this statement one time. This was a man who was kind of a world-class tightrope walker. You know those guys that get up on those tightropes and walk? This guy one time did this across a large two buildings, skyscrapers, tightroped across these two high-rises. He made this statement one time. He said, he's talking about a successful tightrope walker. He says, an unsuccessful tightrope walker is one who walks so as to not fall. Now, think about that. An unsuccessful tightrope walker. He walks so as to not fall. A tightrope walker, he says, a successful one, walks to get to the other side. He's not looking down. He's not obsessed and paralyzed with the fear of, one mistake and I'm going to fall. He walks to get across the other side. He doesn't focus on falling. And so we're aware of the danger. There are dangers. There are a level of discomfort and fear of growing and stretching spiritually. What if I don't succeed? What if I fall short? What if I fail at times? What if I'm not well received? I mean, you just name all the reasons people can think about in their minds. We're not focusing on that. We're not focusing on that. We're pressing forward. And I think spiritually there are Christians, there are churches, there are people who claim to follow Jesus, but they're paralyzed. And they're not moving. They're stationary. Their fear of what might happen if we do this and we fail, and they're just constantly doom and gloom. You know, it's not getting any better, but we can't do anything about it. And there's just kind of this bunker mindset. We just kind of hunker down in a bunker, and we just kind of surround ourselves with just protection, security, and we don't ever stretch. We don't ever grow. We don't ever try because we might fall or we might fail. I'm saying this morning, church at Crosstown, we need to grow. We need to be reaching to a higher rock as a congregation. We are at that point where it's time to get to work. It's time to start stretching. It's time to start growing. It's time to start doing more and being more. It's not the time to say, well, we used to do this, or we might have done this, and this was done better, and why don't we do this? And it's time to start pressing forward. There are opportunities abounding here at Crosstown to work, to serve, to grow,
to edify each other, to get in a small group, to start helping in the Bible school program, to start helping with encouraging folks, maybe through Monday Night for the Master or through other opportunities. There are plenty of opportunities to start growing here. We just got to take advantage of it. I want to encourage you to reach to the higher rock. I want to encourage you to have the prayer of the psalmist here, David, that says, Lord, lead me to a higher rock. I hope you'll say that this morning. I hope you'll do more than just say it. I hope that you'll take some action in your life as a Christian. Maybe that involves a public response. Maybe you need to put Christ on in baptism, come to the spiritual rock of Jesus Christ. Maybe as a Christian you have done that. You've put Christ on in baptism, but you've been stagnant. You have been settled and satisfied where you're at spiritually and as a member even of the congregation. Maybe it's time to do some repenting, some rededication, some renewing. Maybe that involves a public response. If we can help you this morning, come as we now have this song ready.